I trust that you had a good Thanksgiving. We have got to get together with our youngest son, Matthew, up in Greeley and spend some time with them. And it was good. And we talked to Nathan on the phone, and we talked to Don on the phone, and we're very, very happy for technology and cheap long-distance phone calls. Okay, let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, there is much about Thanksgiving and Christmas, this whole holiday season, that just from a purely human perspective is fun. It's enjoyable. It's beautiful. Even just from a very purely human perspective, Father. But I pray that you won't let us just see Thanksgiving and Christmas only from a purely human perspective. Help us, Father, to realize that Thanksgiving is to be a quality of life all year long. And that the joy of Christmas and what we celebrate at Christmas is a gift that, to borrow a phrase, keeps on giving. Because Jesus came to be that baby in Bethlehem. We have eternal life every day of the year because of that. So, Father, help us to enjoy all of the human level enjoyment of this season. But help us not to stop there. Instead, to understand the deeper spiritual truths that have transformed our lives through the grace of God manifested in Jesus Christ. That we would live our lives in the light of the true message of Christmas and Thanksgiving all year long for His glory. Help us to do that, Father, through what we study in Your Word this morning, and I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I like to review, because I don't assume you remember anything. Okay, you remember about that giant spiritual eraser at the back door? Okay, that when you go out the back door, there's that spiritual eraser that erases things you heard. I think Satan likes to do that. Get you so distracted with, okay, now we got to rush out the door and get home and eat and get planned, you know, get laundry done for the week and get meals ready for the week and all of that stuff, and the things that you heard and learned sometimes get left here, I'm afraid. So I review, because I don't assume you remember anything. Our theme verse for the year as a church has been 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We've been looking at growing in Christ, and the goal is that we would become more Christ-like. The goal is that we would be conformed to His character, bearing fruit and growing in good works. Not doing good works in order to be saved, but trusting Christ by faith, and because of that, doing good works out of gratitude and to serve Him. The power, a lot of people say, oh, I can't do that, it's too hard, you're asking too much. Beloved, God never asks us to do anything that He doesn't give us the grace and power to do. He will never ask us too much. So the power, by God's grace, we have all of the resources and power we need to live a life of perfect obedience and holiness before God. How many of you know anybody who's doing that? Yeah, I don't either. But guess what? It's not God's fault. It's because we fail to take advantage and make use of the resources God has made available to us. We can, by His grace, live that life of perfect holiness and obedience. So, how do we grow in Christ? Well, the factors that we've looked at, first of all, salvation. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, that's where you've got to begin. Secondly, Scripture. So important. Meaningful encounters with the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, Colossians 3 says. And then, the process of abiding in Christ, just on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment process of walking in fellowship with Him, abiding with Him, disciplining yourself toward godliness. Growing in Christ requires some work. It requires some discipline. If you're the kind of person that, you know, you hit the snooze bar 16 times before you finally drag yourself out of bed and then you're behind, and so you got to rush and you don't have any time to quiet your heart before the Lord and prepare your heart for the day ahead, Don't be surprised if you're not growing. It takes determination. Discipline yourself for godliness. And then water baptism. If you've never been baptized since your salvation, then that's a step of growth. I believe that's a step of discipleship that God expects of each one of us. Latria living. The word latria is a Greek word that means worship service. It's worship that is expressed as an act of service. It is service that is done as an act of worship. We live our lives as holy people. Okay, in the Old Testament, there was a priesthood, and they were the holy people, and everybody else was just everybody else. In the New Testament, there is no priesthood. Or rather, let me change that. In the New Testament, we're all part of the priesthood. Every single one of us, as believers in Christ, is a priest. You have direct access into the Holy of Holies. And so everything you do in your life can be an act of latria, worship service for God. If you do it with that attitude, that you're doing it as service unto God. You mean changing diapers? Yep. You mean going to that horrible job I work? Yep. You mean driving on I-25? Yep. You can do every one of those things, and everything else you do in your life is an act of worship service to God, if you will. If you will. Meaningful encounters with one another, body life, community, serving and being served. There's a mutuality there. Serving and being served. It's not that you're just giving and giving and giving to everybody else all the time. You let them minister to you too. It's a give and take. It's mutual. Okay? My hands do things for my body, and my tongue profits from that. And my feet do things for the body, and my hands profit from that. Sometimes my hands help my feet, and sometimes my feet help my hands. Well, that's exactly the way it is in the body of Christ. Nobody is self-sufficient. You're only one part. You need the rest of the body. There are a lot of people who say, oh, I can be a Christian, and I don't have to go to church. And that's true. But you can't be a good Christian and not go to church. I'm just convinced of that. And it's not just because I'm a pastor. That was my attitude before I became a pastor of this church. Linda and I visited just like you and, you know, everybody else is. We were just members for over a year before I was called to be the pastor. So we have that track record. Mind control, bringing every thought into control, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, facing temptations. They're going to come, beloved. And they're not necessarily bad things in your life because God uses them to cause us to grow. Now, they're bad if you give in to them, but Jesus was tempted. Being tempted is not itself a bad thing. It means you're human. Jesus was tempted in every kind of way that we are tempted, yet he never sinned. So, guess who you go to if you're being troubled with a temptation? You go to Jesus. Because he's been there. He's experienced temptation. He knows how to overcome it. Enduring trials and suffering. I wish I could tell you that you can attain spiritual maturity without having any trials in your life, but that would be a lie. Jesus grew to maturity through what he suffered. Hebrews tells us that. Consistent corporate worship. That's what y'all do here. And it needs to be consistent. This needs to be a regularly scheduled part of your week. I'm not saying that there's, you know, if you're sick, you know, please don't come and spread that to us. Okay? There are times when you need to stay home, but it's not just because, you know, you've got an ingrown toenail or, you know, well, you haven't done your laundry for the week. You know, throw it in the machine and leave it and come to church. I don't know. You wouldn't believe some of the excuses I hear from people for why they couldn't come to church. They don't make me laugh. They don't make me laugh. Loving God supremely and demolishing idols. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. What is your idol? What is the thing you're living for? What is the thing that is so important to you, you don't want to give it up? We have to ask ourselves, is that thing more important to me than God? Because if it is, it's an idol. And we have to deal ruthlessly with our idols in our lives, beloved. Anything that we are loving too much, we need to recognize that, we need to admit it, and you may need to just get rid of that thing, get it out of your life, if it's something that you're loving too much. Okay, that brings us to our next topic for today, that was the review. That was all free. What I want to talk about this morning is a matter of prayer. Because I believe prayer is also essential to spiritual growth. And some of you just thought to yourself, uh-oh. Anybody else have that uh-oh feeling? Somebody has once said that the easiest way to make somebody guilty is to ask them about their prayer life. Because most of us realize that we don't pray as much as we should. We don't pray like we should. It's one area of most of our lives that we feel guilty about. So I thought about different ways that we could approach looking at the matter of prayer. And I thought about, well, we could look at forms of prayer. There are about seven different specific forms of prayer. And I thought, well, I don't really want to go into the different forms of prayer because my focus is the relationship between prayer and spiritual growth. But then as I thought about the different forms of prayer, I realized they're connected with spiritual growth. So I want to ask for your help here. Okay? Confession is one of the forms of prayer. How is confession related to spiritual growth? Specifically, confession of sin. How is that related to spiritual growth? Okay, let me explain. That was not a rhetorical question. That was a real, honest-to-goodness question waiting for a reply for you. David. John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if there's sin in your life, that's going to prevent you from growing spiritually. So you need to confess that sin so you get back into fellowship and so you're walking in the light as he is in the light. Confession's necessary to spiritual growth. How about the matter of thanksgiving? How is that connected to spiritual growth? Okay, thanksgiving is an act of obedience, therefore it's connected to spiritual growth. It's also a recognition that the blessings that we have came from somebody else, and that keeps us humble. So thanksgiving helps keep us humble, and humility is an important part of spiritual growth. Pride will knock you down from spiritual growth every time. Thanksgiving promotes humility. How about worship? Worship is an act of prayer. Does that have any relationship to spiritual growth? Yeah, but how? Put words to it. Gingerly, cautiously shaking your head, thinking that if he doesn't fall on me. Rudy. Acknowledging who he is. Acknowledging that he is God and I am not. There's a God in this world and it's not me. Okay? As long as you start thinking or as long as you continue thinking you're the God in your world, you're not going to grow spiritually. There needs to be the recognition that God is God, not me. I am his, Psalm 100, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What a beautiful place that is to be in. But so many people don't want to submit to that. They don't want to be that people of God's people and sheep of his pasture. About praise. Praise focuses our attention on God and who he is. Praise helps us to focus on who God is like because that's who we want to become like, right? So praise helps to focus on what the goal is. When we're praising God for his holiness, for his love, for his truth, for his eternity, when we're praising him for those things, those are the things that, because we're focusing on them, those are the things that we're actively seeking to become like. You will tend to become like that which you dwell on in your mind. So praise is an aspect of spiritual growth. How about asking? How does that help us grow spiritually when we ask God? I'm sorry? We learn to depend on Him. We're reminded, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Okay, the doxology. Praise Him. Because again, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. James 1:17. It's a recognition that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. So we ask Him for things as an act of submission, as an act of obedience. And we grow spiritually because we realize we're not self-sufficient. About the time you start thinking you're self-sufficient, you don't need God, you have done stopped growing, beloved. Supplication. Supplication has the idea of expressing an urgent need. It's not just asking, it's asking! It's related to the word, it is necessary. It's sometimes translated begging. Somebody once said, there's nothing that will stimulate prayer as much as a good reason for it. When you've got a good reason to be praying, you tend to pray more. So again, it's an act of submission. It's an act of reliance upon God. It's an act of expressing our dependency on God, that He is our sufficiency. And that helps us grow. Finally, how about intercession? Intercession. That's when we're praying for somebody else. That takes the focus off of our selfish little selves. It gets us out of our selfish little selves and gets us focusing on other people and their needs and interceding on behalf of God, serving them by praying to God on their behalf, not asking God for anything for me. God, I pray for Casey and Gracie that You'll bring them home safely today as they're driving through the ice storm in Texas this morning. Interceding on behalf of somebody else. So I was going to talk about the different forms of prayer, and I decided not to do that because I wanted to talk about spiritual growth, and I realized, well, yeah, each one of those forms of prayer is related to spiritual growth, but I still decided I didn't really want to focus on that. So another thing we could do talking about prayer is we could talk about prerequisites to answered prayer. Okay? Sometimes you pray and you don't see any answers. Sometimes you pray and you do see answers. And we could talk about, well, what makes the difference? What are the prerequisites to answered prayer? Okay, first of all, salvation. Well, that's a step in growing. Being in fellowship with God, that's a step in growing. Confessing your sins. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Psalm 66:18. That's a step in growing. And I realized that all of these prerequisites for answered prayer, they're all involved with spiritual growth too. So then I thought, well, we could look at reasons for unanswered prayer. You know, if I have sin in my life, if I'm asking with wrong motives, if there are relationship issues. 1 Peter 3:7, Paul tells husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And he goes through the end of that verse and says, so that your prayers may not be hindered. If your relationships with other believers are not what they should be, that's going to interfere with your... Guess what? That's going to interfere with your spiritual growth too. Remember, part of spiritual growth is those corporate things that we do, serving and being served. So I thought, well, you know, that's all related to spiritual growth too. And I thought, well, we could look at Jesus and His example. And then I realized, well, He's the goal of spiritual growth, to be conformed to His image. So that's related to spiritual growth too. So then I thought, well, okay, so what are we going to do? Growing in Christ through prayer. We're going to focus more specifically on exactly why is prayer related to spiritual growth? Why is prayer related to spiritual growth? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. We've gone way too long in this message without you opening your Bibles. Ephesians 5:18-19. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Always giving thanks. Prayer is instructed for us to do. Prayer is commanded for us to do. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Three short verses that are really powerful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. 18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know God's will for your life? Oh, I wish I knew God's will for my life. Okay? How are you doing on the rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks part? Well, not so good. Okay? So if you're not doing the part of God's will that He's already revealed to you, why should He give you more? Why should He give you any more leading of His will when you're already not doing what He's already told you to do? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Please understand, beloved, that doesn't mean that you go around with your eyes closed, your hands folded, and your head bowed 24 hours a day. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the fact that everything that happens in your life, you relate it to God. You're driving an I-25 and that idiot cuts you off. He cuts in front of you and, you know, you're trying to drive a safe distance behind the guy in front of you and some guy cuts right in there. Okay, how do you respond? Probably just as well some of you don't answer that. Okay. How you could respond is, Lord, thank you that He didn't hit me. Father, he's driving pretty carelessly. Please don't let him kill himself or anybody else. Father, watch out for him. Father, help him to be more concerned about other people and not so selfish. Ooh, Father, help me not to be so selfish. He got in my way and he's going to make me 3.5 seconds later getting to work. This is going to be a terrible tragedy because he cut in for me 3.5 seconds later. That's the distance that, seriously, you're going to get upset about that? No, take it to God. You get up in the morning and, oh man, the sun's just coming up. I don't want to be up at this time in the morning. Oh wait, look at that beautiful sunrise. Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that pretty? And wow, I got up and I'm able to get up out of bed. You know, there are people who can't. Thank you, Lord, for my health. And I've got to go to that stupid job. Oh, wait a minute. There are people who don't have. I get to go to my job, and you've given me the strength to do it, Father. Thank you. Praying without ceasing can have a radical transformation in our attitudes if we go through the day. The biggest problem in our life is not what happens to us. The biggest problem in our life is our attitude, what we think about what happens to us. If we follow this prescription in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, it is going to transform our attitudes towards our job, our family, everything. It will transform our attitudes. Prayer is an act of obedience. So it's related to spiritual growth because you don't grow if you're disobedient. That's fundamental. You don't grow in Christ if you're being disobedient. So, check up number one. How's your prayer life? Go to John chapter 15 with me. We read this passage when we looked at Jesus and his instructions about abiding in him. Prayer is connected with our abiding, obeying, receiving, and rejoicing. Look at John chapter 15. Look at verses 7 and 8 with me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay, there's that condition. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. What's the very next thing Jesus talks about? Prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Prayer is connected with abiding. You can't lead a prayerless life and be abiding in Christ. It just won't happen. On the other hand, you can't pray without abiding and expect to get your prayers answered. I mentioned before Hamlet, the play that Shakespeare wrote. In Hamlet, there is this scene where Hamlet's father-in-law, stepfather, is seen to be praying, quotes. And Hamlet is considering, okay, shall I kill this guy? And Hamlet reasoned to himself, wait a minute, if I kill him while he's praying, he's liable to go to heaven, and I don't want that. So I'm just, I'll wait for a better time when he's doing something bad. Hamlet needed a little work on his soteriology, but we can work with that another time. Okay. At the end of that time, Hamlet has left, and the stepfather gets up, and he says, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. Have you ever prayed without praying? In other words, you just kind of go through the motions. You go through the routine. I'm afraid we do that sometimes at mealtime. Okay. I can go on to automatic pilot in my prayers when I'm praying for, Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it and nourish my body. In Jesus' name, amen. And I never thought a thing about it. I just, those words spill out my mouth without ever going through my brain or my heart. And that's not prayer. It sounded like prayer, but it wasn't. Okay? That's what the guy in Hamlet was talking about. My words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never go. You can pray, supposedly, without abiding, but you're not really praying. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. These are aspects of spiritual growth. Prayer is connected with abiding, asking, obeying, receiving. Skip on down to verse 13. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Okay, see that word friend? That's related to the Greek word phileo. Phileo. Not the Greek word agape, but the other word for love. The love of relationship, the love of friendship, the love of respect and affection. That's what he's saying for the people, that his disciples. Verse 14, you are my phileo, loved ones, my friends. If you do what I command you, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. See the connection there again between abiding and praying? Abiding and getting your prayers answered? But also, notice the connection between friendship and prayer. After all, prayer is just a form of communication, right? What kind of a relationship can you have with somebody that you never communicate with? Not much. Okay. Marital counselors will tell you that communication is a key to a good marriage. People who work with industry will tell supervisors, okay, communication is the key to working with your employees. Communication is key to any relationship, beloved. You're not going to grow well without without communication. And a communication is twofold. It's in both directions. God speaks to us through His Word, and we speak to Him through prayer. Okay. How many of you, anybody doing the Read Through the Bible in a Year program? How many of you would maybe like to do it next year? It's time for me to order a new reading guide. Okay, well, I should order two. Okay, I'll order more than that and hopefully encourage the more of you to take up my challenge, Read Through the Bible. If you were doing the Read Through the Bible in a Year program, you read this morning, Daniel 9. It says, Daniel was reading in the book of Jeremiah the prophet, so I gave my heart to prayer. You see, Daniel went smoothly from reading God's word to him to praying to God about what he had just read. Prayer and Bible study should go hand in hand. One should lead naturally to the other. We should automatically, naturally pray back to God about what he has just told us. God, you just told us, rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. God, I have a problem with that. I complain too much. And you commanded me I'm supposed to rejoice always. Would you help me with that? You see how that works? God says something to me, and then I pray back to him. Some people write it down in a prayer journal. There's value in that. When I journal, and I don't always, but when I do, I benefit from it. What we have in the book of Psalms, beloved, to a great extent, is prayer journal of David and Asaph and Moses and some of the other men, writing down, spilling their hearts out on the sheepskin or whatever they were writing on, talking about their struggles in their life and their walk with God. I'll tell you a secret. You can be absolutely honest with God. He can handle it. Okay? You don't have to sugarcoat anything with him. He knows your heart anyway, so you're not fooling him by, you know, sugarcoating things. And that's what we have in the book of Psalms. You know, we talked about that in the Bible class at 9:15. There's Psalms where David cries out, Lord, how long? Will you forget me forever? Ooh, are you allowed to pray that way to God? Absolutely. He wants to hear your struggles. He wants us to bring our struggles to him. 1 Peter, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. How can you do that if you don't ever admit to having any cares or problems? Oh, I realize you've got it all together. You don't have any problems to have to cast on God, okay? Next week, you preach up here and I'll listen. Prayer is a form of communication, and communication is essential to any relationship. What I've just been talking about, prayer strengthens the message of the Word of God in our minds and hearts. And again, I go back to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was reading the words of the prophet Jeremiah. So I gave myself to prayer. He prayed back to God what God had just told him through the prophet Jeremiah. If you just read the Bible and then slam the book closed and rush on to your day, it's probably not going to make much impact on your life. But if you'll read God's word and then pray about it. God, this is such a great promise. Thank you for this blessing. God, this is something I struggle with. I'm going to need your help. Oh, and by the way, I'm having trouble with this coworker at work. And could you help me deal with him too? What, God wants to hear that? Absolutely. He absolutely wants to hear that. Prayer strengthens the message of the Word of God in our minds. Furthermore, there are times when prayer brings our thoughts into conformity with God's thought. Go to Psalm 54 with me. David, the inscription says this was David when the Ziphites came and said to Saul, is not David hiding himself among us? Look how Psalm 54 starts out. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your power. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen against me. Violent men have sought my life. They have not set God before them. Notice the change, verse 4. Behold, God is my helper. David turned his focus to God. And after expressing his problems to God, he got his thoughts off of his problems and he focused on the God who is bigger than his problems. You hear the change that takes place between verse 3 and 4? Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. He will recompense the evil to my foes. Destroy them in your faithfulness. Willingly I will sacrifice to you. I will thanks to your name, O Yahweh, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all trouble. And my eye has looked with satisfaction upon my enemy. David starts praying and he's crying out to God for help from his enemies. And by the end of the prayer, he's giving thanks to God for his blessing. Look at Psalm 62. Verse 3. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Ever been around people like that? And then David sits himself down. Verse 5, my soul, wait in silence for God only for my hope. David's hope was not in his army. David's hope was not in his power as a soldier, as a fighter. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Verse 8, trust in him all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Is there any indication that any of those enemies that David talked about in verses 3 and 4, that anything has changed with them? There's no indication anything has changed. The only thing that's changed is God, is David's perspective. Because he quit looking at the problem and he started focusing on the God who is bigger than the problem. Psalm 63, Psalm 73, the same thing. Look at Psalm 73. The first two verses are Asaph's introduction, talking about how he was having a problem. Verse 3, for, I've got that word circled. Now, why was he having a problem? For, I was envious of the arrogant. Okay, that is going to cause you problems every time, beloved. You just count on it. As I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no pains in their death, their body is fat, they're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued. Skip on down. Verse 11, they say, how does God know? Is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease, they have increased in wealth. Oh, verse 13. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. Look at these guys. They're evil. They're wicked. They're sinners. They're getting away with murder. And look at me. I've been trying to serve you, God, and what has it gotten me? Are you allowed to be that honest with God? For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. Verse 15. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered this, wanted to understand this. It was troublesome in my sight. Thank you, Asaph. Thank you for being honest with us. It's troublesome in our sight, too. The prosperity of the wicked has given people of God problems forever. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until. Oh, what a big word. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. What changed about Asaph's circumstances? Nothing. What changed about the circumstances of the wicked people he's talking about? Nothing. What did change? Asaph stopped looking at the short view and he got the big picture. He said, oh, it's not going to be so good for them in the end. then I perceived their end. Verse 21, when my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me and afterward receive me to glory. Verse 25, one of the most precious verses in the Bible. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing. I've got you, God, and that's all I. I don't need all that other stuff those other people have that I was worried about. I've got you. See, prayer brings my thoughts into conformity with God's thoughts. Prayer often reveals my selfishness to me. You can jot that down. We're not going to take time to look at it for the sake of time. Psalm 67 reveals my selfishness to me. I catch myself praying for things and I think, really? This is what's important to you? Prayer submits my will to the will of God. In this we have Jesus' example. Remember Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Prayer submits my will to the will of God the Father. And then we have Jesus' teaching. In the so-called Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, your will be done. Why don't we pray? Sometimes we're guilty. We don't want to come into God's presence because we know there's sin in our life that we don't want to deal with, so we don't pray. Sometimes we're just too busy. Sometimes we're too self-sufficient. We think, I don't need God. I got this handled. I can do this. I can take care of this by myself. I don't need God. What a dangerous and foolish attitude. More likely, song, I need thee every hour. Every hour I need thee. How about every minute? How about every second? Practical prayer suggestions. We'll end with this. Schedule a time. If you don't schedule a time to pray, my experience is my confession. If I don't schedule a time to pray, I go through the whole day and I'll think, man, I didn't spend any time in prayer today. Schedule a time. Secondly, make a list. Have a list of prayer requests so that when you pray, you can go immediately to things that you are praying and concerned about. Maybe you've had the experience of telling somebody, I'll pray for you. And the next time you see them, I never pray for them once. Oh, man. Make a list. And don't make sure your list is not just things you're asking God for. Throw in some praise and thanksgiving, too. In fact, start with that. And then finally, pray throughout the day about everything. Pray without ceasing. Part of abiding with Christ. It's how we grow in Christ. Prayer is an essential discipline if we're going to grow spiritually. God invites us to pray. How could we possibly refuse such a precious invitation from Almighty God? And God commands us to pray. How dare we disobey such a precious command? God desires our fellowship. What an incredible thought that God desires fellowship with you and me. He calls us friends. Wow. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's pray. Father, if we realized what power is available to us through prayer, I'm confident we would pray more than we do. If we realized how important prayer is to you, as we draw near to you through prayer, I'm confident, Father, we would pray more. Remind us of those things. May we have as strong a desire for fellowship with you as you have for us. May we desire to walk on a moment-by-moment basis with you and our Lord Jesus. And may we express that, Father, through our constant praying without ceasing until we see Jesus face to face. We long for that day, Father. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We ask that in his precious name. And we thank you, Father. Amen. May God's grace be with you.